Welcome to the Shiur Pirkei Avos. We're up to the third parak of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Gimel, the third Mishnah. It's on page 556 or 557 in the Ohart Scroll Hebrew English Sidurim. So in this Mishnah we read as follows: Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion Omer. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion used to say, Shnayim Shiyoshvim ve'ein beineihem divrei Torah. If two people sit together and there are no words of Torah between them, Hareze Moshav Leitzim. This is, as the article translates it, a session of scorners. These are people who are scoffers, who make light of everything. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in the beginning of Tehillim, of a Moshav Leitzim Lo Yoshav. It describes the righteous person who doesn't sit in the company of scoffers. Two who sit and there are words of Torah between them, the Shechina, the Divine Presence, is between them. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Malachi, at that time those who feared Hashem spoke each man to his fellow. Hashem heard and he listened. And it was written in a book of remembrance before him for those who fear God and those who think about his name. Again, that pasuk on a simple level is explained by Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, talking about the presence of God is to be found among two people who are sitting and speaking words of Torah between the two of them. Ainli alishnayim. I only know that this is true of two who are sitting and studying words of Torah, that it brings the Shechina down between the two of them. Minayin afilo echad shiyoshev ba'osek ba'Torah, shakadosh baruch hu kovei lo schar. How do we know that even if a single person is sitting and involving himself in Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God himself, will set aside a reward for that person? Shenemar, so it says, a pasuk in Echa, Yeshev Bodod V'yidom, let a person sit in solitude and be quiet. Let him be still. Ki Natal Olav, because he will take a reward for that action of sitting by himself. Before we get into the content of this statement, let's first share a little bit about the author of the statement, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. We'll try to understand a little bit about his background. We'll try to understand why Davka, at this point in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion is being quoted. And we will try to show how the life and the biography of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion fits very, very beautifully together with this statement that he's making. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion lived in the period of time after the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed, during the Bar Kochva rebellion and the tremendous gzeros, the anti-Semitic decrees of Adrianus, the Roman emperor, that came to be after that. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion himself was one of the Asara Harugei Malchus, one of the 10 martyrs who were martyred primarily during the years of Hadrian, of Adrianus, and he died al Kiddush Hashem. How did he come to die al Kiddush Hashem? So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Avodah Zarah that Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, even after the Romans had decreed that Jews were not allowed to study or to teach Torah, certainly in public, other Tanoim went into hiding. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion was insistent that he would teach Torah in public, in full view of everyone, and with Talmidim around him. So the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah tells the following story. Kishechala Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, when Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, one of the other Tanoim, became ill, Holach Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion levakro. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion went to visit him, to be Mevakir Chole. Amarlo, so Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said to him, Chanina Achi, my brother Chanina, Iato Yodeya Sheuma Zo Min Hashomayim Him Lichua. Don't you understand that this Roman nation
was given sovereignty by Hashem himself. Shachriva es beiso, v'sarfa eichalo, v'hargas chasidav, v'avda tuvav, v'adayin hikayemes. We see that the Roman Empire was successful in destroying the Beis HaMikdash, killing so many tzaddikim. Ordinarily, you'd think that the Romans would be punished, and yet the fact that they're still here means, obviously, for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed that they should have the upper hand. They're not a people to be trifled with. I've heard about you, says Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma to Rabbi Chanin ben Tradion, that you are sitting and toiling in Torah. You're gathering people around you in public. The Sefer Torah munach l'cha b'chekecha. And the Sefer Torah is in your lap. There's no, you know, you're not playing dreidel that you can somehow disguise what you're doing. You're sitting there with an open Sefer Torah with Talmidim around you in a very, very public defiance of the decrees of the Romans. You know, you're going to get yourself killed, Rachmana Litzlan. Rav Chanin ben Tradion doesn't listen to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. And the Gemara goes on to say that Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma passed away a few days later. And a huge funeral was held for him. At the funeral, major figures in the Roman government were at the funeral, were there. As they returned from the funeral, Mitzaul Rabbi Chanin ben Tradion shayosev osik batara umakil kihilos berabim v'sefer Torah munach lo b'cheiko. On the way back from the funeral, they found Rabbi Chanin ben Tradion in public with the Sefer Torah, teaching the multitudes unafraid, and this incredible act of defiance enraged the Romans. They arrested Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, they tied him to the stake, they wrapped the very Sefer Torah he had been teaching from around his body, they set a pyre around him, they lit the pyre on fire, and they took wet sponges and put them on the body of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion in order to slow down the burning of the fire, that not only should he die, but he should die painfully. And again, we know the story. The executioner was moved, the Roman executioner was moved by this, by the resolve of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, that he was not willing to even give up his life. You know, he was not, or he was willing to give up his life for Torah, but he was not willing to commit suicide at that point. The Talmidim urged him to simply open up his mouth and to die in that way by imbibing the flames. He refused. The executioner removed the sponges so that Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion would die with minimal pain. It would take away the pain, and then the executioner himself threw himself into the flames. A very dramatic story told by the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara goes on to say, not only was Rabbi Chanina punished, but his wife was punished, his daughter was punished. Again, terrible, terrible things which befell Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. Why is Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion mentioned at this particular point in Pirkei Avos? So, I think if one looks at the third parak of Pirkei Avos in general, one finds the following pattern. Overwhelmingly, the Tanoim mentioned in the third parak of Pirkei Avos are Tanoim who lived during the period of time right after the destruction of these, or right after the period of time, right after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, meaning not the generation that saw the Chorban, but the generation after that, the generation that lived through the rebellion of Bar Kokhba, again about 50 some odd years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the generation that overwhelmingly were part of the Asar Harugei Malchus. There are many of the Asar Harugei Malchus, many of the 10 martyrs who are mentioned in this chapter, and even those who were not from the martyrs themselves, they are contemporaries of those martyrs. In doing that, Pirkei Avos in the third parak is actually continuing the historical chain which was begun in Prakim Aleph and Beis, but with one caveat. In Prakim Aleph and Beis, which as we spoke about previously, took us through the period in which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It took us through the period of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his Talmidim, who sought to pass on the legacy of Torah from the pre-Churban times to the post-Churban times. There, everything was neat, it was organized, there was a clear chain of transmission, which was described in the Mishnayos. But after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, as is essentially hinted at the end of Perek Beis, at the end of the second Perek of Pirkei Avos, so now there's no longer a clear chain of tradition. There are going to be Tanoim who are quoted, but we've lost the format that we had in Prokim Aleph and Beis of clearly delineating this one was a Talmud of this one was a Rebbe of that one, because that clear chain of tradition has been broken. Now that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, we don't have a sense of Rebbe giving over to Talmud, even though that was certainly still true, but now there are just isolated comments which are given by the Tanaim and shared with us in Perek Gimel. So Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion is typical of that. A Tana who lived during the period of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, again, someone who lived not in the generation right after the Churban HaBayis, but the generation after that, the second generation after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And, you know, that generation, which is already post-Churban, experiencing the Hadrianic persecutions, is the generation which overwhelmingly is represented in Perek Gimel. There are exceptions to this rule. Akavya ben Mahalalel, whom we spoke about two times ago, lived back in the time of the Zugos. He was a contemporary of Hillel and Shammai, lived a very, very long time beforehand. Rabbi Hanina Skana Kohanim lived mostly before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. But I think those are exceptions to the rule, rather than being part of the rule itself. And what we're doing in Perek Gimel is that we're bringing the Tanoim who lived during the generation after the generation of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, but we're also bringing Tanoim who did not clearly fit into the tree of the Shalshalas HaMesorah, the chain of tradition which had been depicted for us in the first two Prakim of Pirkei Avos. So Akavya ben Mahalalel is a great figure, but he doesn't clearly fit into that chain of tradition. He was someone, if anything, who in a sense defied the chain of tradition. He went against everybody else. Rabbi Hanina Skana Kohanim was a great person, but again, it's not clear where exactly in the chain of tradition he fits into. So this parak brings mostly the second generation after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, plus some great individuals who don't clearly fit into the pattern that was laid out for us in Prakim, Aleph and Beis in the first two chapters of Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion's biography beautifully, beautifully fits with the words that are shared from him in this perek. Shnayim shiyoshvim ve'ein beinam divrei Torah hareza moshav leitzim. If two people sit and there's no Torah between them, it's a company of scoffers. Avol shnayim shiyoshvim ve'yesh beinam divrei Torah. But when two sit and there are words of Torah between them, Shechina shruya b'neihem, the Shechina rests amongst them. In other words, when Torah is learned in a pair, or certainly in a group, that Torah is powerful, and that Torah brings down the Shechina. It's true that, as we're going to read at the end of the Mishnah, even a single solitary person who sits and learns Torah will get schar, will get reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's true. However, the Shechina only really comes down in the fullest sense when at least two are learning together. So this statement of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, which emphasizes the importance not only of learning, but of learning with the chavrusa, learning with the study partner, learning with somebody else, learning in a group. So that really answers the question that Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma put to Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said to Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, I don't understand you. The Romans are going around killing people who are learning and teaching Torah. What on earth are you doing sitting in public and giving a public shiur with the Sefer Torah in your lap? You're out of your mind. They're going to come, they're going to kill you, and indeed that's what happened in the end of the day. So what would be Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion's response to that? Presumably the response is this Mishnah. It's true that what we're doing is dangerous by sitting and learning Torah in public, but it brings down the Shekhinah. And the value of bringing down the Shekhinah is such an incredible value that it even makes it worthwhile for us to put our lives in danger to teach Torah in public despite the decrees of the Roman Empire. Right? So the importance not only of Limud HaTorah, of Torah study, but of Torah study in a public venue, you know, with that when more than one person learns Torah, it has a special quality of bringing down the Shekhinah, is essentially an explanation for the act of courage that caused Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion was ready to give his life for, and did give his life for, during the course of his career. In light of that, that Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion is speaking about the importance of studying Torah in a group, despite decrees, we could appreciate, I think, in greater depth, the latter part of this Mishnah. Says the Mishnah at the very end, how do we know that even if a single solitary person is sitting and learning Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a reward? Again, not that he won't merit the Shekhinah coming down, but he does get a reward. So the Mishnah quotes a pasuk from Eicha, of all places. Yeshev Badar V'yidom, he sits in solitude and is silent. Kinat halalav, he will take his reward for that action which he is doing. On the surface, it seems to be a strange pasuk to quote. By way of contrast, if you look a little bit later in Pirkei Avos, in Mishnah Zayin, in the same perek, so there's a very similar statement which is made about the importance of learning Torah in a group, that's made by Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa. Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa talks about Asara sheyoshvim ve'oskim b'Torah shechina shruya b'neihem. If 10 sit and are involved in Torah study, the Shekhinah is amongst them. And then it goes on to say, that's true even if it's 5, even if it's 3, even if it's 2. When it comes to 2, Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa quotes the same pasuk from Malachi that Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa quotes, Oz nidbiru yirei Hashem ish al reyeyu. But then at the very end of Mishnah Zayin, Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa says, Umayin afilu echad. How do we know that even a solitary person who sits and learns Torah brings down the Shekhinah, which seems to be at odds with the statement of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa? Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa seems to not hold that the Shekhinah comes when a single person, when a solitary person, is learning Torah by himself. So how do we know that that's true? Though, says Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa, that a solitary person learning Torah brings the Shekhinah, because the pasuk says in the end of Parshas Yisro, "B'chol amakom asher asker Hashemi avoy lecho v'erachticha." Any place where I cause my name to be mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. Again, that pasuk is not clearly talking about limud haTorah. It might be talking about tefillah or some other kind of avodas Hashem. But it definitely seems to be a more obvious pasuk to quote to illustrate the idea that a solitary person learning Torah merits having the Shekhinah come down and be there in his presence. B'chol hamakom asher asker Hashemi, any place where my name is mentioned. In other words, in this context where Torah study takes place, even by an individual, avo elecho v'erachticho, I'll come to you, and I bless you. Not uveirachti eschem. Not that I will bless you plural. Uveirachticha, I will bless you singular. So that pasuk seems much more obviously related to the point which is being made. What's the pasuk in Eicha? Yeshiv badar v'yidom have to do with anything? Why Eicha of all places? Who says that's talking about limud haTorah? So I think the choice of a pasuk from Eicha by Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa makes sense when we consider the context of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion. When we talk about the context of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion's life, it makes sense why he quotes a pasuk in Eicha. Eicha is the pasuk of Eicha is the Megillah of Churban, of destruction, and Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion is saying the times in which we live are equivalent to the times for which Eicha was written. Eicha was written by Yirmiyahu HaNavi to lament the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. We right now, says Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, are lamenting the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and we're lamenting the fact that even after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Romans are still persecuting us with their terrible anti-Semitic decrees. And in this environment, somebody who learns Torah very often has to do it in silence. Yeshev Badar V'yidom. This person goes into quarantine. He goes into solitary confinement. Why? Because he's afraid of the Romans who will kill him if he's caught learning Torah. So Yeshev Badar. He goes into a solitary place, V'yidom. And he's quiet. He learns Torah quietly. He doesn't want to attract the attention of the authorities. So, says Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, I don't view that as the ideal. If I viewed that as ideal, if I viewed that as the highest level of Torah study, I too would have gone into solitary confinement. I don't think that's right. I think we should be Moser Nefesh to go out there in the streets and bring people together and have many Talmidim gathered around so we can learn Torah in a group. And I'm willing to give up my life for that. But at the same time, I recognize that the person who's not ready to give up his life for that, the Yeshev Badar V'yidomnik, the person who will simply sit in solitude and learn quietly so that nobody catches on, that's also something. I don't mean to disparage that. I think we should go beyond that, says Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, but I don't mean to disparage that either. That also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu koveh lo schar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give reward for such a person. So while Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion himself aspires to great heights of Mesiris Nefesh, he doesn't disparage Cholila, the Jew who's not quite ready to do that. Anything you do in Torah study is good, even if it doesn't rise to the highest levels. With regard to the basic point that's made by Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion about the importance of two people learning together, there's a beautiful approach to this Mishnah, which is used both by the Medrash Shmuel, as well as Reb Chaim Volozhin, but in explaining in greater depth the beginning of this Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off by saying that Shayim Sheyosh Ve'Ein B'Neim Divrei Torah Hareza Moshav Leitzim. If two people sit, and there are no words of Torah between them, it's a Moshav Leitzim, it's a session of scoffers. Now, what does that mean? So imagine the following. Back in the day, we used to get on trains. So two people come, they sit down next to one another on a train together. They're both frum people. This one pulls out his sefer, that one pulls out his sefer. Or even one pulls out his newspaper, the other pulls out his newspaper. They don't share any words of Torah with them between the two of them. They don't say anything between the two of them. This one minds his business, that one minds his business. Says Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, Hareza Moshav Leitzim. It's a gathering of scoffers. It's a gathering of scoffers? Why is it a gathering of scoffers? Why is it Leitzanus, which means to scorn or to scoff at something? Why is it Leitzanus just to sit quietly? Why should that be a problem? So write both the Medrash Shmuel and Reb Chaim Volozhin, what we're talking about here is not two who are sitting and minding their own business. It's not even two people who are engaged in some other type of activity. The two people referenced by Reb Chanina ben Tradion are chavrusas. They're learning together. They're learning together? I thought you said, Ein beinehem divrei Torah. I thought you said there are no words of Torah between the two of them. How could that describe two people who are learning together, who are chavrusas? So say both the Medrash Shmuel and Reb Chaim Volozhin, the key word over here is beinehem. There are no words of Torah between them. There are words of Torah which each of them are uttering. However, the words of Torah are not being shared between the two of them. What does that mean? Say both the Medrash Shmuel and Reb Chaim Volozhin, we're talking about two people who are learning together, but they're not really listening to one another. Ki kavonosam, I'm quoting from the Medrash Shmuel, ki kavonosam lilmod kol echad ve'echad levado. Really, each of them is learning by themselves. They happen to be talking to one another, but, you know, it's not that one really cares about what the other one has to say. Those who learn b'chavrusa know it's oftentimes easier to learn b'chavrusa than to learn on your own. So each one, they're learning b'chavrusa, but each one is kind of learning separately. V'shalolios b'neyem divrei Torah, hu'biyosha kol echad mehabil yediyas chaveiro. Each one of these people thinks, each one of these chavrusas thinks, that he knows what's going on, and the other guy's an idiot. The other guy doesn't really understand. I am learning with him, so I must be an idiot if I'm learning with an idiot. Okay, you know, I needed somebody to learn with. I needed somebody to keep me awake. But when the other guy offers up a svara, gives an explanation, to myself I'm thinking, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. The truth, each one is scoffing at the other one's knowledge. Ki choshev mayi moshechli bischabri lilmod imo. The person says, I'm not really going to get anything out of learning with this person. I happen to be learning with him, but, you know, really it's just an exercise in keeping myself awake. I'm the one who's the driving force behind this chavrusa. The other guy is just kind of along for the ride. Shnayim shiyoshvim, two people who are sitting and learning. But ein beineyem divrei Torah, the words of Torah are not going back and forth between the two of them. They're not, neither thinks highly of the other one's insights. So that's a moshav leitzim. That's a session of scoffers, in the sense that each one is scoffing at and making light of and denigrating the position of the other person. How do we see that in the pasuk in Malachi, which is quoted? So again, right, both the Medrash Shmuel and Reb Chaim Volozhin, the pasuk in Malachi uses a very interesting tense in describing how these two people speak to one another. It says, "Oz nidbiru yirei Hashem ishal reyeyu." Then these two God-fearing people spoke one to another, but it doesn't say "Oz dibru." Each one spoke to the other. It uses the nifal, the passive, oz nidbiru. What's nidbiru as opposed to dibru? So explain what these mefarshim. Dibru means that they spoke at one another. That's not what we're looking for over here. We're looking for nidbiru. Nidbiru, a nifal, means that one is impacted upon. The chavrusa is only going to be successful when the person is ready to be impacted upon, to be spoken to, and to receive the words of his fellow. Only then will Hashem inscribe you in the book of Yirei Hashem and Choshvei Shemo, of those who fear Hashem and think about his name. So it's interesting, the beginning of the pasuk started off, Oz nidbiru Yirei Hashem Yishal Reyeyu. And the end of the pasuk speaks about Yirei Hashem and Choshvei Shemo. What's Choshvei Shemo? Those who think about his name. Why is that added to the end of the pasuk? So says the Medrash Shmuel, because when this couple sat down to learn b'chavrusa, they certainly can be described as Yirei Hashem, those who fear God. They're sitting and learning. But Choshvei Shemo, those who think about his name, means that they're sitting and learning l'shma for the right reasons. If they're only learning and they don't care about the other person, they're not really learning lishma in the fullest sense of the word. It's only when they're nidbiru, they're ready to be impacted upon by the other person, there's yesh divrei Torah beineyem, the words of Torah between them, only then are they not only yirei Hashem, those who fear God, but choshvei shemo, people who can be described as thinking about God's name, in other words, acting with the proper intentions, acting lishma. Those people, says Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, who are willing to come together to learn from one another, those are the people who are truly going to bring the Shekhinah. And, you know, for those people, I'm willing to give up my life, because that kind of environment, where people are learning together, and not just learning at one another, but learning from one another, yesh divrei Torah beineyem, that's the kind of Torah that brings the Shekhinah into Klal Yisrael. We might add, you know, something that's relevant to this time of year. We know that the Avelus of Sfira is associated with the deaths of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, who died right around the time that Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion was alive, was functioning as a Rebbe. And the pasuk and the Gemara says famously that they died shlonagu kavod zeboze. They didn't treat one another with kavod. And of course, the question is always asked: you know, how is it possible that they didn't treat one another with kavod? You know, what do you think they spat at one another? They tripped one another. What did they do? So, according to this explanation of Reb Chaim Volozhin and the Medrash Shmuel, the explanation may be as simple as follows. These chavrusas learned together, but they didn't listen to one another. And, you know, they were polite to one another. You know, they didn't say anything derogatory one to another. But essentially, each one thought, I'm right, the other guy's wrong, the other guy doesn't have what to contribute to our learning together. Lo nagu kavod ze bo ze. They didn't treat one another with the kavod. In other words, they didn't respect what the other person had to say. They didn't think it was a valuable thing. They were dibru ish el reyehu. They weren't nidbiru ish el reyehu. They spoke, but they didn't allow themselves to be spoken to absorb the Torah that the other person was sharing with them. They were simply focused on their own Torah and their own perspectives. Right, so perhaps we can suggest that that was the sin of the Talmid Rebbe Akiva, and it's for that they were punished, because, again, according to Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, the failure to carry on a chavrusa where you respect and value the other person's words ultimately prevents the Shechinah from coming down and being a part of the Torah which is being shared under those circumstances. Tomorrow night, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll have a drasha on Parshios Behar B'chukosai. At this time, we'll turn our attention to say Tehillim as we do every night. And Be'ezus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to all of our tefillos. Tehillim, Kapitel Tzadi Aleph, 91. Yoshev B'seiser Elyon, B'sel Shaddai Yislonon. Omar Ladonai Machsi Sudosi Elohai Eftachbo Kiyat Silicho Mipach Yokush Midever Havos Bevroso Yosechloch Besachas Kinofov Texe Tsino Visochiro Amito Lo Siro Mipach Agoilo Mechaitz yof yomam, bidever bofel yaloch, mechetev yoshut saroyim, yipal mitzidacho elef urvavam imenecho, elecho lo yigosh, rag veinecho sabir, bishilumas vishoim tire, ki ato adonai machsi, elyon samto. Me'onecho lo sunei lecho ra v'nega lo yikrav b'yolecho ki malocho v'yitzav elach l'shmarcho b'chol d'rochecho al kapayim yisonecho pentigov bo'even raglecho al shachal v'ofes en tidroch Tirmos kefir v'sanin, kivi choshak v'afalateyu, asageveyu ki odashimi, yikro eini v'eneyu, imon ochi v'tzora, achalitzeyu v'achabedeyu, parech yomim asbiyeyu, v'yareyu v'shuosi. Kuf Chaf Aleph 121. Shir Lamalos Esoinai El Harim Meyayin Yovo Ezri Ezri Meim Adonai Osei Shomayim Vaoret Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha Al Yonum Shomerecha Hinei lo yonu v'lo yishon, shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzelecha, Ayad Yeminecha. Yomam Hashemesh lo yakeka, v'yoreyach baloilo. Adonai Yishmarcha, Mikora, Yishmar es nafshecha. Adonai Yishmar tzeisecha v'lecha, me'ato v'yad olam. Mishaberach avuseinu, Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Moshe v'Aaron, David Shlomo yivarech v'yirape yesacholim. Bavu shibli neden on listaka, Bavu mischarza kodish boru, Yimoli rachamim alehem lachli, mother apposom lachosikon lachiosom. Yishlachlohem erofu ashle mominashoma, yim lachole vori, el hogi de yem. Visal shor chole Yisrael, fuasa nevesur fuasa goof. Ashtob agolovis man kori, vinomar omen. Plan on davening Marvez Hashem, 8:55 or so. I want to wish everybody a wonderful evening, and everyone should stay safe.